السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continuing in the majlis of Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat Ji is mentioning, if you can recall the last majlis, we spoke about huzus. Things that give us pleasure, and sometimes we give more attention to that and we neglect the hukuk. Whereas on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will question us with regards to the hukuk. Did we fulfill the hukuk, whether it is hukukullah, the rights of Allah Ta'ala, whether it is the rights of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? That comes now under hukukul ibad. Then the rights of our parents, our wives, children, neighbors, family members, all these things. So if we trampled on anybody's haq, that Allah Ta'ala is going to question us about. The hudud, Allah Ta'ala is not going to take us to task. The example that was given is that you get your meal, person is eating, whether he is having some rice dish or whatever. So you can't do without that meal. If a person stops eating food and he only lives on achars and chutneys and all of that, so he'll get sick. The main thing is the food. If the chutney is there, the achar is there, that is something on the side. If that is not there, no problem, long as the food has been eaten. So the fara'is, the faraz ibadat is like the food. The hukuk of everybody, that is like the food. And other things now, I decided I want to do this, or I want to do that, this gives me a lot of joy, that gives me a lot of joy. It may be things of ibadat also, but those are hudud. If we don't do it, Allah Ta'ala is not going to take us to task for it. So when we look at the categories of ibadat, so then we get what is called nafal ibadat. Nafal namaz. Whether it is a nafal salah that is connected to the faras salah. The sunan ghair muakkada, the nawafil. Right? So these are all optional, but it is connected to the faraz salah. And then we get nafal salah, like now salatul tahajjud, or salatul ishraq, salatul duha, salatul awabin, tahiyatul wuzu, tahiyatul masjid. So these are all nafal namazes. So the nawafil, they also fall under the category of hudud, in the sense that if a person didn't read nafal namaz, Allah Ta'ala is not going to take him to task for it. Right? If he misses out the faraz namaz, that Allah Ta'ala is going to take him to task. But he missed out a nafal namaz, Allah Ta'ala is not going to take him to task. However, this does not mean that we must confine ourselves only to the fara'is or the sunan muakkada, the witr wajib, and more than that we don't read anything else. For example, in the Isha namaz we get 17 rakats. Alhamdulillah. In Isha namaz, there's 17 rakats. 4 rakats sunnati khair muakkada before Isha. Then your 4 rakats of faraz Isha. Then 2 rakats sunnati muakkada. 2 rakats nafal. 3 rakats witr wajib. 2 rakats nafal. However, many people, right, will only read 9 rakats throughout the year. They read the 4 faras, two rakats sunnat muakkada, three rakats witr wajib. Why? He said, no. That's the only thing I have to read, so I don't get guna. So all the others, the sunnat ghair muakkada and the nawafil and all, that is left out. Now one is, if somebody is not feeling well, somebody is tight for time, or somebody is busy with some kaam, and on that day now he leaves out the sunnat ghair muakkada, he leaves out the nawafil, etc. There's no problem. But to make it like a standard in our life, that we only just read what's bare minimum necessary, we only read that, and everything else we just leave it out. So this is not a good thing. See, a person is eating bread. So you can just eat bread like that. But now we want butter on that bread. Sometimes we want some cheese on that bread. Some people prefer some jam on that bread. And the new generation, they want Nutella on the bread. So, that butter on the bread or whatever goes on the bread, does it not make the eating of that bread more enjoyable? It makes the eating of that bread more enjoyable. This is all, not the exact words, but all the explanation that Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali had given. So now, we complain that we're finding it difficult to read our faras. A person sometimes is feeling lazy. If he's a namazi, he pushes himself. He still goes. But sometimes he's feeling it difficult, feeling it hard. By adding on the nawafil, it will make it easier to read the faras. To butter the bread, it takes a little bit of effort, right? Now you must have butter there, then take the butter knife, then you must start buttering the bread. Whereas you could have started eating already. So it takes a bit of time and effort to butter the bread. But how much more enjoyable it becomes? How much more easier to eat that bread now? So in, with regards to our ibadat, when we will make amal on the nawafil, then we'll find that the faras becomes very easy to read it. The concentration will also improve. Right? So that is one benefit of reading the nawafil, the sunnah, the ghair muakkada, etc. Then the faras will become easier. It will become easier to read the faras. And our concentration and everything will improve also. There's a second reason. Second reason. We learn from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on the day of Qiyamah, when we go for account of our deeds now. So if, for example, now Salah is being checked up and there is a deficiency in that Salah, so whether it was a faraz, whether it was a sunnat muakkada, whether it was a witr wajib, but there's some deficiency. I may have not read, made the tilawat, you know, with the proper tajweed. I may have not concentrated properly. I may have not made the posture properly. Whatever, some deficiencies in the faraz. So Allah Ta'ala will then instruct the malaika that check up if this banda of mine has got any nafal salah to his credit. There is deficiency now in the faras salah. So check up, does he have some nafal salah to his credit or her credit? So when it is, the reply comes in the affirmative, So then Allah Ta'ala will instruct that that nafal ibadat must be used to patch up the faraz. So that faraz which was deficient, some holes here, whatever. So now that nafal will be taken and it will patch up this faraz ibadat. And now that faraz ibadat will be accepted now. The person will be rewarded in full for the faraz ibadat. Right? So the same goes with all our ibadat. So this is a very, very important reason. I mean, all of us, we know what's the condition of our namaz. We know what's the condition of all our ibadat. Right? Now, if we don't have any patch, imagine you got a puncture and no spare wheel. You got a puncture on the highway, no spare wheel. Now you stand it now. If you got the spare wheel, you can put the spare wheel on. So on the day of Qiyamah, when this problem is with our faraz ibadat, and if we got nafal ibadat to our credit, then that nafal ibadat will be used to patch up all the faraiz, all the compulsory ibadat. Right? So we must get into the habit of making amal on the nawafil also. And some of our namaz, not the faraz namaz, nafal ibadat, nafal namazes, etc., we must get in the habit of reading at home also. In our era, the ulama advise us that, see, when it comes to our sunnat-e muakkada, don't say we're going to read it at home. You only read the faraz in the masjid and say, no, I'll go and complete my sunnat-e muakkada, etc. at home. But they say, don't do this. Because we are so caught up in our dunya, so caught up in so many different activities and engagements and commitments, that we may leave it out. We'll come out of the masjid, this will happen, that will happen, we'll leave it out totally. So they say when it comes to our sunnat-e muakkada, and although Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to go home and read. He used to go home and read, complete his sunnat-e muakkada, etc. But for us, the ulama say that, see, you rather read it in the masjid, because once you go out, you will get caught up in something else. Just now you leave it out totally. It's same like the hadith where we learn, Aisha radiallahu anha, other Ummahatul Mu'mineen, other Sahaba, they explain to us that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last namaz that he would read for the night was his witr wajib. So after Isha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shouldn't read his witr wajib. He'll read his, some sunnat-e muakkada, some nawafil, but he won't read his witr wajib. Then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reads his tahajjud salah, after he completes his tahajjud, then he would read his witr wajib. And this would be at the time that is almost, you know, like where the night is now going to finish. Subah Sadiq is going to come. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read his witr wajib. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised other sahaba radiallahu anhum that you read your witr wajib before you go to sleep. Why? Because some are students of deen. Some are working class people. They are tired. Now, if they're going to say, no, I'll read my witr wajib in the morning, it's now you oversleep. Now you lost out. You missed the witr wajib becomes qaza now. So better you rather read it before you go to sleep. But those who are paaband, they are tahajjud guzar, they are paaband, they are confident, they're going to wake up. So then they can leave it for the morning. So we were saying that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go home to read. But we are told to read our sunnat-e muakkada, etc. in the masjid. Right? However, when it comes to our nafal namazes, so there we must read something at home. Read something at home. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that leave some portion of your salah for the house, referring to nafal namazes. And in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't make your homes into qabristans. And one meaning of that is that read namaz in your house. Because qabristan, you don't go there to read namaz. So read namaz in your house. So we must get in the habit that we read some namazes at home. One is the barakat of reading salah. The other is our own ikhlas. When we're going to read our namaz at home, there's nobody to see us there. Nobody to see us. Nobody to praise us. If you're expecting praises from the wife, she may just complain. How long are you reading now? You know, we want you to see this or do that, and now you're reading so long, long rakats and everything. You know, she's not going to give you khilafat and all that. But now in the masjid, now you got your spot. You come there, your desk is there, your this is there, you're reading. So the whole gham will talk. Whole gham will talk. And one thing, man, hey, that Yusuf Bai or Farooq Bai or Mahmud Bai or hey, one thing, hey, they the pillars of the masjid, man, they read. Sometimes that can go to our head also. So I'm not saying mustn't spend time in the masjid, but read some namaz in seclusion at home. It will help with our own ikhlas. And the other benefit is that our children would also observe us reading namaz. The children will observe us reading namaz. They too will get encouragement to perform salah, etc. Jiva, go give your bayan outside. Go there, give your bayan. Whoever wants to sit in that majlis, go. Two majlis can't take place same time. Go there, have your majlis. Whoever wants to go and partake in that, you go and partake in that day. Don't sit here and disturb us. Jee. So those are the benefits of reading some nafal at home. Right? Sometimes, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explained, sometimes certain actions are mubah, meaning they are permissible. If you do it, there is some merit to it. If you don't do it, if you do it, there's no guna. That means it's mubah, it's permissible. If you do it, there's no sin. If you don't do it, there's no guna. But sometimes, if due to that mubah action, other problems are coming about, other gunas are taking place, then in that case, it's better to leave out that mubah action. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali gives one example. He says that in the early days, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, if somebody completed hijj, now it was like a customary thing in India that when a person completes hijj, so then they distribute mithai. Whoever is there on that occasion when the hijj is, you know, or khatam is taking place, so then they would distribute mithai. Like how it's customary in our society, there's a nikah or something, then after the nikah they will give some sinni. So there is something, you'll find something, that after a nikah, khajurs were given to the people, etc. Right? So in the early days, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, If somebody brought mithai on the occasion of khatam of Quran Sharif, Hifz Khatam, so he would allow it. He wouldn't stop them. But later on, he put a stop to it. Why he put a stop to it is because now it was going out of hand. Right? So different ills started coming in. For example, now it becomes extravagance. Another problem that can come about is that a person can't afford it. The poor person, they can't afford it. But now his child is completing, the child says, yeah, but all the other children in the Hifz class, they all gave me time. Now why I mustn't give now? Now the father sometimes he goes into debt in order to distribute that mithai. So, although the act in itself may be permissible, but the Hazrat Rahmatullahi explained that people who they don't ever come for namaz. Namaz, remember we're talking about very poor communities in India, right? So these people, they don't ever come for namaz. But the day they know that mithai is being distributed, now everybody comes away. They all come away because they know mithai is being distributed. So they're coming not honoring the Quran Sharif. They're coming because of that mithai. And then you get some greedy people also in our communities too. And sometimes old people, some sinni will be distributed. The man will go there, give two. Everybody is getting one. He goes, give two. And in his mind, no, but take one for my wife. The old people, no. He said, he'll take one for his wife. The young people, they can't take for their wife because their wives are on a diet. They're all dieting. They're not eating chocolate. They don't want to put on weight. So now the old person is in offer, take for my wife. So he got a good intention, but isn't he doing a wrong thing? If you want to take for his wife, go buy another chocolate and give for his wife. Other people never get still. Now he wants two now. So they also, people started doing things like that. And then children started coming. They're joining the line 2-3 times. Then they can't eat it. They're throwing it on the floor. People are walking on top of it. So these were all the things that were happening in India. So because of that, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi put a stop to it. So at times things can be mubah. They can be of a permissible nature. But because of other ills that are coming about, it can be stopped. See, our people, now when some walima is taking place or whatever, so from as long as I can remember, people were going to the halls, right? So, you know, now the whole family is coming and all of that. Now how are you going to put them? So they go to the hall. But it used to be a very simple affair in those days. Those days, there wasn't much ilm around. I don't think people even understood they must eat on the floor and all that. So, you used to get those wooden tables with a stand. So that used to be the thing that was used, and some type of plastic chair or something. And the meal also was a very simple meal. Most of the time was dal and rice. For the Joburg people, dal and rice, or dar khau. Joburg people, they don't know what's dal, they say dar. And now for Vietnamese people and other people, now what we're going to tell them, what's dal and rice now? Some type of a meal eaten with rice, made with some lentil. So now, a person now, it was a simple meal, simple affair. They used to get that trestle, what we call trestle paper now, just open that thing out, and everybody ate and went away. Everybody, whoever was there, used to come. If the host sees that a lot of people here, he send a message to the cook, he put a hose pipe, make that dal more. So they used to make dal and rice because it's barkati thing. You don't have to say only two people invited, only one. Whoever wants to come, the hose pipe is there. Is there any problem? You just put the hose pipe in the deck. You got more dal, no problem. And then the very wealthy families, they would now make biryani or something. That was like very rare. One very wealthy family, now they'll make biryani. Otherwise, it was a standard thing, dal and rice in all the walimas and everything. But then with time, how many ills started coming inside? That time also there were ills, but now it's worse. Somebody was telling me, you know, sometimes we don't realize with our actions, we bring about problems on ourselves, and then we sit and cry. So one alim was telling me that one person, he, now all this thing is pre-planned, right? But you see, life has become what's on social media, that's who you are, you know? So, to propose for this girl that he wants to get married to, in order to propose to her, not even an engagement, there's no such thing as engagement in Deen, but this is now just to propose. So to propose to her, he flew the family to Paris. If a girl is listening to this, and she has this feeling in her heart that I hope one person can come along and give me something like this, then must remember our compass is all upside down. Then we have gone very, very far away from the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he flew the family to Paris and bought, I don't know whether he told me 4,000 or 5,000 roses to write now with the roses. And in front of the Eiffel Tower. Now what barakat? He is proposing to her and she is saying yes. Now if you ask yourself this whole exercise, what it costs? So just because Allah gave us wealth, must we then behave in that manner? While people are starving, now to waste money like that. Now, this is like one of the extreme cases, right? But even normally, how much of money is wasted on these things? Khamukha. No reason at all. So much money is wasted on things that are totally, totally unnecessary. Right? Now when the economy goes down, business is bad, then we say, hey, you don't know what's happening now. Hey, this government is like this, and they don't know what they're doing, and America is causing a problem, and that's, it's not all that. They're not in charge of the world. When Allah Ta'ala has given us a ni'mat, and now we're squandering that ni'mat like that, then out of mercy, Allah Ta'ala sometimes closes the tap to save us from guna. Because the more money we got, the more guna we're indulging in. Now a poor person, can he do that? Fly to Paris and get 5,000 roses and all? He can't do that. So he's safe. He's safe, he won't do those things. So we were saying that certain things may be mubah. So what I wanted to mention to you, that these going to the halls, people were going, those days, a lot of masjids also, they had halls next to it. Nikah will take place in the masjid, and then after that, the meal will be in the hall. But when all these gunas started taking place, haya is gone out the window, and gunas taking place, then our Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he is totally put a stop to it, that he won't attend any function in a hall. Now somebody will say, but I mean, what's wrong with the hall? Well, there is nothing wrong. They say that we got proper parda facilities, right? And we even put dastarkhan too. So in itself, it may be a mubah thing. But because of all the ills that are taking place, right? So our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he said no more. He is not attending any hall functions, right? All the israf and all the wrong. So although it may be a mubah thing, but because of all the wrong things that start taking place, it becomes impermissible. Sometimes it's of an impermissible nature, sometimes it's a makruh thing. So, a person to do weightlifting and all that is permissible. Right? But now to go into a gym where they're playing music and there's other Nanga people and all that over there, now how can it still remain permissible? You have to say, no, this thing mustn't go there. To go and have a swim in the beach, it's permissible. Go and swim. In fact, swimming is healthy too. So no problem. But if you're going to the beach, and now all the guna taking place around there and everything, now how can you still go there? So the act in itself, in isolation, it may be a permissible thing. But because of all the ills associated with it, now you mustn't do it. Close the door. Don't get involved. Now we may not be able to make out now that this particular thing, is it mubah? Right? And if it is mubah, can I do it, or have ills come away into it and I shouldn't do it or whatever? Now that's where our ulama come in. That's where our mashayikh comes in. Now the person got a sheikh, so now he makes mashwara with his sheikh. And the sheikh will tell him, alright, like this, like that. Even jalsas, I remember our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he was totally against this concept. One person completing, and now you having one big dawat and having, calling everybody, one big dumdam story. What for? Person completed his, you had one jalsa, out of khushi you wanted to feed some people, well and good, no problem. But now to make it like a proper function, our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he was against that. And ulama that ran his classes and they had taluk with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, the students used to all come and complete in the Thursday night or Monday night majlis. Come, complete there and khalas. After that they gave some sinni or something. Maybe the family, they got together a little bit. But today's time is gone, like, that's another function now. The jalsa that takes place in the madrasa is not sufficient. So one person, the student completed in the jalsa, in the madrasa jalsa. So now, the next day, they're having a function at home. And they say, no, this is a Hibs completion. And the Maulana who is giving the bayan, he too will give all the fazilets of an occasion where the Quran is completed, du'as are accepted. Which Quran got completed? Which Quran Sharif got completed? From after the Jalsa finished Asr time or Maghrib time, next day, 10:30, that fellow is having his Jalsa at home. So, which Quran khatam is making over there? Did he read the Quran? Did he start Maghrib time on Saturday night and finish off 10 o'clock Sunday morning to have another Hifz Khatam Jalsa? Yeah, so if they say that no, we are feeding out of happiness, but then you can't call him there and make him read from Qulhu Allahu Ahad till Muflihun like it's a Khatam. There's no Khatam happening there. But how many like this takes place? Then we come out sideways, no, one of his doors. No, man, it will just be counted. Maybe one khatam he made in the class that time or something. So we're making that khatam now. So if this is all not a show, what is it? And today, forget the boys, the girls too are not getting them. The girls too are not getting them. One girl finishing him is there to want one big jalsa. And sometime in the, how much israf taking place in these jalsas and all that. I remember there was one person, he was reading Taraweeh in one place. So they made khatam, they were going to make khatam on 27-9. So now one of the, whether it's a mutawalli or musalli or whatever, said, no, after the khatam we'll have brai. So that person who was making Taraweeh there, he phoned to ask me that now, you know, is this the right thing? Must I attend this thing? I said, no, you mustn't attend. You mustn't attend it. You must try and tell them not to do it if they don't want to listen, but you don't attend it. So when he explained to that person, now this is what happens sometime when we don't have ilm. But we just want to read up. We say in the hadith is like this and that is like that. But we don't understand. So that person, he told this Hafiz Sahab that when Umar radiallahu anhu made khatam of the Quran Sharif, he slaughtered one camel. We just have couple kilos meat on the braai, what's the problem? Can you equate the two? We know what happens in the 27th night. Quran Sharif Khatam took place, that could be Laylatul Qadr night. Now when you go to have one brai, how much of ghaflat comes away? How much of ghaflat comes away? So now if ulama say don't do that, then we must understand why they're saying don't do that. See, whenever we're looking at whether something is appropriate or not, we must always look at our senior ulama. So now if you want to have a bride 27 night Ramadan on the khatam, you must check up, does Mufti Ibrahim Saraji sahab do it? Does Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid sahab do it? Does Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Patel sahab do it? So now if they not doing it, then that means there must be something not right about it. If it was something very good, they would have been promoting it. If they not doing it, then there must be not, something must be not too right about it. So rather, then I mustn't do it. Understand? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام اللهم انصر المسلمين في غزة وفي كل مكان جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Today I read one ملفوظ of Hazrat Morana Muhammad Mazhar Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Jane Jana Rahmatullah. We hear this name often. And when we think about our Buzrugan-e-Deen, then we only think of their humility and those aspects. But Mirza Jane Jana, Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned that I am such an expert with weapons. Now those days the weapons were different. They didn't have the type of weapons we have today. So he said, if there are 10 people armed with swords, right, they're coming to attack me, and if I got my one lathi, stick fighting was a big thing those days, if I got my one lathi, the 10 of them, they don't stand a chance. The 10 of them got swords, I'm one out with my lathi, they don't stand a chance. So our Buzrugan-e-Deen, they were not only sitting and making tasbih and having majlis and all that. When the time came for jihad, that time too they were in the front line. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we stop exercising our thumbs, stop being keyboard warriors and only one way with the thumbs, and use the whole body, you know. Be fit also, be strong also. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله